If we could see a video of ourselves the way we talk to the people closest to us, the people we claim to love the most, we would very often be ashamed to see the lack of basic kindness and respect. How can you change that? You can change it by learning from someone who has a great attitude towards others, and you're going to be shocked when you hear who it is.
Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
Paul interprets their gift as a renewal of their concern. Verse 10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. This word translated concern, that's our old friend that we've seen all through this book. It's this word for attitude. We've talked about that so many times. The attitude back in verse 2 of chapter 4. I plead with Euodia, I plead with Syntyche, have the same attitude. Most of the book is devoted to calling the Philippians to have that attitude towards one another. He spent the whole first half of chapter 2 talking about it. Make my joy complete, verse 2 of chapter 2, by having the same attitude so that you'll have harmony and unity in the church. And then in verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who emptied himself in the whole passage. It describes how Jesus had this attitude. Paul had that attitude in chapter 1, verse 7. It's right for me to have this attitude about all of you since I have you in my heart. So the whole book has been about this attitude. It's that selfless, humble, loving, Christ-like, you-first kind of attitude that's so essential to church unity. And it's so central to his message to the Philippians. He wants them to adopt this attitude towards one another. That'll solve all their problems in the church. All the disunity problems, all the fighting problems, the conflict problems will be solved if they just have this attitude. And so he's writing this whole book over and over and over, pleading with them, teaching them, giving them examples like, I want you to have this attitude. And so he says, let me show you my example of having this attitude. Let me show you Jesus' example of this, having this attitude, and Timothy's example, and Epaphroditus' example, and my example two more times. And then now, he says, at the very end, he says, I got one more example for you to follow. Yours. Yourself. You already got it. You already know how to do this. You have this attitude towards me. Look, that's what he's saying in verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you've renewed your attitude towards me. You've got it. Just try to get a feel for how this would come across to the Philippians. The whole book, he's been saying, have this selfless, humble, loving attitude towards each other. Have this selfless, humble, loving attitude towards each other. Have this selfless, humble, loving attitude towards each other. Then he gets to the end of the book and says, hey, thanks for having a selfless, humble, loving attitude towards me. You see what he's doing? If they want to learn everything Paul's been teaching them about how to treat each other and how to have unity in the church, all they have to do is look at how they treat Paul and just treat each other that way. Then they got it. They just have to treat each other the way they treated Paul. Church would be fine. That is a great lesson for us. You can learn from yourself the right way to treat people, right? Because there are certain people you treat well, aren't there? When there's disunity in the church or in the home or anywhere else, the solution might be as simple as just this. Let's start treating each other in this church the way we treat our missionaries. Right? Treat people that you live with the way you treat people that you don't live with. You see this all the time with marriage. You can have a husband and wife screaming, yelling at each other, out of control. You always do that every time. Sick and tired of this. I'm sick and tired of this marriage. I'm just... And the phone rings. Oh, hello, pastor. Oh, yeah, it's such a blessed day, you know, and they're all of a sudden like turning on a dime. How is that possible? How is it possible so angry, so upset, and then suddenly you're just fine? People lose their temper and they say, I can't help it, you know, she pushes all my buttons, I just lose control. No, you don't. No, you don't. That's not a loss of control. Because if the pastor comes to the door and knocks on the door, you open it up, suddenly you've got all the control in the world. The issue isn't inability to control your anger, it's unwillingness. It's unwillingness. You can be friendly to the pastor, but not to your spouse or to your roommate or whoever it is in the church you're at odds with. Why? Attitude. Attitude. You're fully capable of that humble, gentle, loving, you-first attitude, but you're capable, but you're not willing when it comes to that person. And who is that person? Typically, it's someone you're around a lot. It's someone you're around a lot. That's why the Philippians are at each other's throats, but they're really nice to Paul, because he's 800 miles away. It's easy to have a good attitude towards missionaries overseas, but the people in your house, people in your church, the people you're around all the time, week by week, sooner or later, they're going to do something that hurts you, right? They just are. Every person on the planet is a sinner. Every one of us is selfish. Every one of us, the more you have contact with them, no matter who it is, just a matter of time before they're going to get lazy at some moment in their kindness towards you, and they're going to be rude or insensitive or harsh with you. The more you're around a person, the more often you see it, it happen. That's why it's inevitable. That's why it happens so often in marriages. And so we build up these bitter, bad attitudes towards the people we're closest to, because they're the ones that hurt us the most often. No matter how good a person is, they're the ones that can hurt us the most often. So we lose our willingness, not our ability, but our willingness to show the same kindness and respect to them that we show to everyone else. And there's a lot of possible explanations for why we do that. You know, a guy can be a jerk to his wife, or scream, woman can scream at her kids or whatever. Sometimes it's just because you can get away with it, right? You can't do that with your boss or you get fired. You can't do it at church because then you'll lose your reputation. So you're not like that with other people because you can't get away with it with other people, but your family's stuck with you. You don't want other people to see that side of you, but your family's already seen that side of you, so the cat's out of the bag there, so you just don't care. So that could be it. Another thing, it could be laziness. You want to impress other people, so you really try hard when you're around other people. When you're at home, you don't put forth that effort. Could be bitterness, because every time your spouse or your whatever, you fill in the blank, whatever that person has hurt you, every time, just added another little bit more bitterness to your attitude. And you don't deal with it, right, in a thorough way that puts it to bed forever. And so it just kind of sticks around and adds another stone to the pile of bitterness. And then when it turns into a mountain, and you got a million little rocks, then nothing can be done about it, because the person can come and apologize for 20 of those, and you take 20 rocks off a mountain, you still got a mountain. There's all kinds of reasons why we're unwilling to show this attitude, this selfless, humble, loving, generous attitude towards people that are close to us. But we need to remember, we're fully capable of it. And you can see that with the way you treat the people that you respect. You can teach yourself how to have a better marriage without reading a single book on marriage. Just treat your wife or the husband the same way you treat people you really respect. I would say this. A lot of marriages could be absolutely transformed if the husband and wife would just treat each other the way they treat total strangers. Just total strangers in the grocery store. If we were that nice to each other, we'd be way better off. Just basic politeness. And there are some dying churches that could be saved and become healthy, strong, vibrant churches that people would just treat each other the way they treat the missionaries.
I think most of the rudeness that takes place between husbands and wives, parents, children, roommates, anyone you're around a lot, I think most of the time we don't even realize we're being rude. We've gotten used to talking to them a certain way, and we don't even think about it. There's no intentional hostility, but there's no intentional kindness either. Over the next several days, try to pay attention to how you talk to family members and how you talk to strangers. Now, if you're rude to strangers, that won't help, but for most people, there's a certain amount of politeness that we show strangers, especially if it's someone you find attractive. That's just human nature. So pay attention to that and try to learn from yourself what polite, kind speech sounds like so that you can use it with the people you might be taking for granted.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of Philippians, 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.